G. KWMR is supported by Two Celebrate Life Breast Cancer Foundation, raising funds to help women and men living with breast cancer. Through its Bay Area Breast Cancer Grants Program, the foundation supports nonprofits that provide direct and emergency services, and they believe that no one should face breast cancer alone. Information about how to get involved is available at twocelebratelife.org. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today, I'm your host. I'm Amanda Eichstedt, and joining me, as she does pretty much for the last 50 weeks, is Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer from the County of Marin. Hello, Lainey. It's March 1st.
How in the world did that happen?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm kind of reeling. I'm sort of surprised, but then I'm sort of not.
It's just, you know, time just keeps trugging along, isn't it? Trugging. That's trucking and chugging. Boy, wow. Now we're making up new words in 2021.
There you go. I like it. Trugging. Trugging. That's what it feels like. We're trugging along. So,
state of mind.
So we haven't spoken in a week. And a lot of things have happened since we last spoke. Marin has transitioned from the purple zone or a level area, whatever it is, to the red.
Yes.
And how are we doing with that?
So far so good. I think a lot of our businesses were so pleased to see that. That announcement come across. So that means that, you know, indoor dining can resume. Our retailers can expand. Gyms can actually move indoor at a limited capacity. Movie theaters, which I know mostly exist on the other side of the hill, can reopen to some capacity. So I think, you know, a lot of our business operators were just pleased because that means they can welcome back a larger clientele base than they could the week before. And I think we need to stop and remind ourselves that, you know, because of the efforts of our community, we were able to decrease our case rate, and that is why businesses can reopen. And that's going to be the secret sauce, if you will, for us to continue to reopen, is just being very, very careful with COVID being present, wearing that mask, making smart decisions if you choose to go out and venture into the community, and avoid those temptations to remove your mask around friends and have indoor parties and things like that. That's what's going to get us there.
That's right. Until we have a critical mass, you know, as many people as possible and who can be vaccinated, we really need to stay the course of all those things that you and I have been repeating over and over again for almost a whole year.
I know, man, anniversary is on the horizon for us.
I know. I looked up and I was trying to figure out when I sent the very first email out from the radio station regarding COVID, and it was on March 2nd. Of last year, where I said, well, you know, we might want to get your own microphone screen and don't come in if you don't feel well.
That sounds about right.
Wash your hands.
I know. Oh, it's the innocence of a year ago, right? Masks weren't even a thing right away. No, that timing sounds about right because the Emergency Operations Center for the county kicked into gear, or as we say, activated, on March the 4th. So we're coming up on a one-year anniversary for that effort. And for many people, they have been hard at it for a year. Others transitioned onto the team at the six-month mark. But the county is still going strong as it relates to this COVID-19 response.
Is that the longest the Emergency Operations Center has been activated for a continuous period of time?
I will have to consult the EOC historians, but in recent history, I believe the answer is yes. And it's certainly the longest that I'm aware of in the short time they've been with the county, but even just talking with people who have been with the county for, you know, well over a decade or two, that's what they've relayed to me. So, but that's part of our training. You know, when we go through training for these emergency response efforts, they warn you. Sometimes the response will be very short. So, for instance, with the North Bay fires, you know, our EOC was only activated a couple of weeks. with the countywide power outages that took place in October of 2019. It was just a week. But they always warn you that, you know, there will come that time that there's a crisis where you will be activated for well over a year. And here we are.
Right.
So it's, you know, you can't, when you have those trainings and different exercises, as they call them, you know, you kind of roll your eyes and be like, oh, yeah, right. But no, they were right. It happens. And here we are.
So are the numbers still looking good over this last week for our solidly staying in the red or even possibly going to orange?
I believe so. I mean, as it relates to staying into red, yes, I believe so. And I want to, the reason I say it that way is we were granted, if you will, kind of some bonus points because of the way we have dramatically changed the infection rates in some of our hardest hit communities. So for those that have been listening week after week, you may have recalled we talked at one point about this equity metric. And the purpose of that equity metric was really to make sure that we didn't leave any communities behind as the rest of our county progressed. And that's looking at key census tracts that may have health inequities based on what's known as the Healthy Places Index. This is a statewide report. And so for Marin County, that includes the canal area of San Rafael, pockets of Novato, Marin City, and also parts of West Marin. And so because we have seen really a transformation in infection rates in those collective areas where at one point at our peak, infection rates in the canal neighborhood of San Rafael were skyrocketing, they're now really quite low. And so because of that, the state actually kind of gave us some bonus points, if you will. That's not an official technical term. That's my own terminology here. But
because the state's taking the equity measure extremely seriously.
They are. And, you know, there are some counties that unfortunately, while the county as a whole, you know, everything averaged looks okay, there are neighborhoods, there are certain communities where they are disproportionately affected by COVID-19 for a number of reasons. It could be because of the housing in those communities is much more concentrated. And as we've talked about before, it can be very difficult to safely quarantine from your family members, you know, if there are 10, 12 family members sharing just a two-bedroom household. And there's also a lot of inequities in our healthcare system that we've known about well before the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of not only access to quality care, but also some of our lower-income families, many of whom fill those essential worker roles, can't afford to take time off to either go see their doctor or quarantine if they think they may be sick, because that may mean they lose their housing. They have to pay their rent. I'm sure we've heard this of many households, you know, needing to pay these high rents here in Marin County. And so because of that, some of these communities are unfortunately experiencing COVID-19 at a much higher rate just because of these very simple facts. So the fact that we are able to come alongside a number of community partners, community-based organizations, our local clinic partners like Coastal Health Alliance, Marin Community Clinics, and others to really educate the community as well as provide resources to help them be able to safely isolate and quarantine. And that includes things like providing them the opportunity of a motel room at no cost so that they can get away from their family again, not exposing the other family members to COVID-19, providing some one-time disaster payments, which make it possible for them to miss days of work without going without that income in order to pay rent, and other things like that. And those strategies obviously have paid off because, as I mentioned, we're seeing a lot of we're seeing a decrease in those rates in those communities. So that's just
it would really be interesting, and I'm not going to put you on the spot for this right now, but to get some statistics on how often those opportunities have been taken advantage of in order, you know, just overall, what is the usage of these programs for people to self-isolate, have a place to go and stay, and, you know, the statistics around sort of the relief efforts for equity in Marin would be interesting to know.
Yeah, that's a great question. And since we're nearing a one-year anniversary, it's a great opportunity to talk about those. So I'll share those with the team. I mean, I could tell you even even though the surge that we most recently experienced, that surge of late November through late January, is behind us, even just late last week, you know, we had close to a dozen people that were seeking safe isolation through one of our programs. So it's still of use, and it's still available to people. I should say it's still being used, not of use, of course, and available to those who really need it and have nowhere else to go.
Well, that's great. Now, Marin is doing a really good job with the vaccination program. And since the last time we spoke, a third vaccination, the Johnson & Johnson, is approved for emergency use by the FDA and will be hitting the shelves of places very, very soon. So all three, starting tomorrow, I would imagine all three of those vaccines are available for people.
Yes, we haven't yet received any intel on when the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will arrive in Marin County. But yes, it's exciting news because it is an added option in our arsenal of vaccine options for people. It's very exciting because it will help us ramp up the number of people who can be vaccinated per week. It gives those that would prefer just a single dose option that option as well. And it's, you know, it's really just a testament at how incredible our scientific community is in being able to now produce three vaccines that have a high efficacy rate in, you know, a relatively, well, I should say short amount of time, but the fact is they've been studying these coronavirus proteins for several years. It was a matter of just understanding which COVID-19 virus would be the one that emerges and needs these vaccines to be used against. So it's an exciting time. So we're waiting to hear when that one may arrive in Marin County, and we're already starting discussions on how and where it might be used. And again, how we might give people an option to choose if they would prefer that single dose option over the two dose option that comes with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines.
Right. And I've heard in several different news outlets that regardless of what vaccine is available to you, you should take whatever one is there and make sure that you get it so that you can protect yourself. And then we still don't 100% sure know if somebody who has been vaccinated could have it without having symptoms and still give it to someone else. So that is why the masks are still in place. And as more people get vaccinated, I'm sure the scientific community will find new things about the virus and also about the how effective the vaccines are, because everybody's sort of learning as we go here.
Yeah, we are all learning. This is one wild ride for all of us. And especially as we start to look at variants and understand the behavior of these variants and if the vaccines will continue to be just as efficacious against some of these variants as they are against, you know, the initial coronavirus strain to which they were developed to protect against. Every vaccine is a little bit different. This is not uncommon. This is similar to what we experience with the flu and the flu vaccine being a little bit different every year. And so the most important takeaway is that all three are highly efficacious. That means they're, you know, highly effective in the clinical trials. They are all proven to be safe vaccines. Of course, every vaccine, including the flu vaccine, is subject to some mild side effects. And those that I have heard who have been vaccinated have reported, of course, like, oh, that sore arm the next day, or they may experience fatigue and headaches. But that's just a sign that that vaccine is already working within your body, meaning it's building up that immunity against the COVID-19 virus should it be introduced into your body and into your immune system. So that's a good sign. And, you know, honestly, if I had the choice, whatever was offered to me, I would be happy to raise my hand and say, yes, I'll take whatever you're offering. Because while we don't know about that infection rate that you talked about, what we do know is it is effective and protecting you against those severe COVID-19 symptoms. So it's a great way to protect yourself from that experience. And until we know more, we are encouraging everyone to keep wearing those masks, keep washing those hands, and keep that distance from others that you don't live with. Just a while longer until we really understand how this virus is going to behave well into 2021.
So medical providers like Kaiser, for example, have been they're getting doses, and the different medical clinics are getting doses. But the county has set up some big vaccination sites, and as the vaccine is more readily available, the county's really set up to vaccinate a lot of people. Can you talk about those sites and how they're set up?
Sure. Yeah, so we have two large-scale sites in operation right now. We have the Marin Center point of dispensing, which is an emergency management public health term, or also known as a pod. So if you're talking with people from the county and they say the pod, that's what they mean. Our super pod, if you will, meaning the largest scale, is at the Marin Center. And currently, based on available supply, it can actually vaccinate, on average, it's doing about 1,000 people per day. Once we get the supply needed, we can actually ramp up to 2 to maybe 3,000 people per day, which is pretty incredible considering some of these other large-scale sites that are highly talked about in the news, such as the Oakland Coliseum and Moscone, are doing 6,000. We're coming in about half, which is pretty good for Marin. The second site that we have is based in Larkspur at the Larkspur Ferry Terminal, and this is offered in partnership with Curative as well as the Golden Gate Bridge District. And this is actually a drive-through vaccine site, which launched just over a week ago and is already increasing its daily throughput, if you will. So it started kind of a soft launch at about 250 doses. And this week, I believe it's up to 500 to 600 doses a day. And once it reaches peak operations, it's also capable of about 1,500 to 2,000 doses a day. And again, a lot of this is really dependent on supply. So as we are getting more and more supply into the county, we will be funneling that to primarily those main vaccine hubs that I just mentioned. Now, in addition to those two big sites, we have other points of access, if you will. We're partnering with a number of vaccine providers in Marin County to provide them with some supply. So, for instance, Marin Health Medical Network, or Marin Health, formerly known as Marin General Hospital. I know a lot of people still refer to Marin Health as Marin General.
Yeah, thank you for making that clarification, because I think that it is a little bit confusing for folks. That's great, Lainey. Thanks.
Yeah. So Marin General, we'll just go ahead and say that for those that have that are Marin natives or have been here for a while, they receive their vaccine directly from us, as opposed to those larger hospital networks like Kaiser or Novato Community Hospital, which is part of the Sutter Healthcare Network. And then we're also supplying some doses to Marin Community Clinics, Coastal Health Alliance. Costco Pharmacy in Novato is going to be providing vaccine using part of the county supply, Safeway Pharmacies, and other. And part of that is because we want to be able to provide other points of access for people, and also spreading out kind of the community access as well. So it's not all just housed in San Rafael or Larkspur, but people can get it in Novato and so on and so forth.
And right now, the people who are eligible to go on and sign up to get vaccinated would be people over the age of 65, agricultural workers, food service workers. What else?
So agriculture and food service, yes. Our educational staff, so our teachers, right, and anyone else that helps work with our schools. Child care staff, which is an integral part of kind of that combo with schools in terms of providing care and whatnot to our children. And emergency services, which were partially vaccinated as part of our healthcare workforce, those EMTs and that sort of thing. So by bringing up emergency services, that would be any law enforcement or any other type of that type of front-facing emergency services that hadn't yet been vaccinated. So all of those groups can go online as a great starting point to look for available vaccine options in Marin. And I want to share with you that we had some great feedback from the community. While people are pretty familiar with our COVID-19 website, there were some that were challenged finding where the vaccine information was. And we really want to encourage everybody to consider pursuing the vaccine and to find the information at their fingertips, that we've created a friendly URL that you can type into your browser and get there directly without so many darn clicks. So if you just go to getvaccinatedmarin.org, that will drop you off directly on that vaccine webpage. And we're going to be using that website more and more because that is really what we're pushing out to our community. We want everyone to consider to get vaccinated as they become eligible, because it's really going to be an important step in helping us get past this COVID-19 experience and this pandemic.
Yes, indeed. So that's great. And should people still register, fill out the vaccine information form for the county as well as the MyTurn, which is the state?
Well, we're encouraging people to begin to transition more to MyTurn. Obviously, if you fill out the vaccine interest form, we'll certainly still reach out to you and let you know as appointments become available. But for Marin County Public Health and actually other providers in the county, such as Kaiser, we are all transitioning to MyTurn to offer up our appointments. We used a different system offered through the state, or we have been using a different system thus far, and the state is now encouraging everyone to funnel into this central system that's offered through MyTurn. And really the advantage to that for those who are just now becoming eligible, those education, childcare, food service, ag workers that we mentioned, is by going through MyTurn, not only will you see what sites that you can access through Marin County Public Health, but you can also see other sites that you are eligible to access. So, for instance, the large-scale site operated by FEMA in Oakland, at the Oakland Coliseum, Marin County residents who are currently eligible to receive the vaccine can get a vaccine there as well. And Kaiser, as I mentioned, will begin opening up sites as well. So it's becoming a new one-stop appointment resource for many providers here in the Bay Area. So we're really encouraging people to consider surfing on over there, check it out. And if you're not yet eligible, consider filling out that notification option as well. And if you've already filled out the vaccine interest form, that's great. We're still going to continue to leverage that database to reach out to our local community about
that. And the website is myturn.ca.gov. It's myturn, yep, all one word, .ca.gov. It's great information. I had another question for you and it has now flown right out of my head.
Well,
I know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
The next my question is, so 65 and over, first was 75 and over, and then 65 and over. Is it safe to assume that the next one will be 55 and over?
Well, that remains to be seen. Yes, I think we're looking at more of a 50 to 64 age group. But the state has also indicated that it may change yet again kind of what the next step in prioritization may be. So we're waiting to hear because, as we've explained many times before on this show, a county can't really veer too far off the charts in terms of who it offers a vaccine to. We still need to be able to stay within the protocol of what the state has laid out for us, which makes sense because, you know, they provide the vaccine to us, and so we want to keep them happy. but what we do know is starting March 15th, medical providers can, at their discretion, recommend that certain individuals who have comorbidities, if you will, and this may be a diagnosis of diabetes or some other illness that makes them at higher risk for COVID-19, they can be recommended to get a vaccine. We're still working through what that may look like in terms of how that referral process may work, but that's something that the governor made very clear just in the last week, that starting March 15th, that will be an option made available for those individuals.
So, that's great to hear, actually.
Yeah.
It's really good because I think there's a lot of people who are under, you know, 60 who do have some existing health conditions and have just been super careful to not get exposed.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at next. And it's, I think, based on conversations with the state, we are going to be looking at more of those age-based groups, if you will, or tiers over what was previously advertised, saying, you know, we'll have a lot more occupations coming online. Of course, this all remains to be seen. And as we've read in the news, Blue Shield is now stepping in to help the state with its vaccine allocation process. So a lot remains to be seen on how that will affect the announcement of these eligibility tiers and that sort of thing. But we're hoping that the new partnership at the end of the day provides a larger supply of vaccine to Marin County so we can keep making great progress.
Yeah, I think I read 1 in 5 people in Marin has been vaccinated or at least has had their first shot.
Yes, and we're so proud of that. And
yeah.
Actually, I mean, when I was talking with Dr. Willis just this morning, and he pointed out to me, well, that's looking at our entire population. And if we think about vaccines and who's actually eligible, our youth are not yet even considered for a vaccine. And so if we take off the 50 to 60,000 youth that live in Marin County, we're actually much closer to 1 in 4 individuals have received at least one dose of the vaccine, which is remarkable given how we've had such a limited supply coming to Marin County week to week. But there's been some great studies of county progress in terms of those counties that are quickly using their allocation. And Marin County is one of the top in the state, meaning we're not sitting on supply. We're not sitting on doses. As soon as they arrive in the county, we're turning around, we're opening up more appointments, and we're getting vaccine into the arms of those that are eligible for it. So I know I sound like a proud mom right now, but I'm really
proud of the vaccine team.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm really proud, and I know that that folks who are doing it are doing a really good job. That are working at the vaccine sites as well as the testing sites. And the testing is still important and is still happening, even though I think testing has sort of stepped back a little bit for some folks.
Yeah, we have seen it's interesting. We did see a decline after the holidays, a steep decline of testing-seeking behavior, if you will. And then, interestingly enough, in the last week, we saw it go back up. And so I don't know if that's connected to Ski Week, because I know that was a coveted holiday, if you will, for many Marin County students, or if it's tied to schools going back into session. But we do want to remind everyone that testing is still there. It's still available. It's actually ample. Same day walk-in. You don't even really need to make an appointment anymore, depending on where you go. And it's really important if you are exposed to members of the public on a frequent basis, or, you know, if you did let your guard down and you had that indoor party that you probably shouldn't have had, go get tested because you may be infected, not even know it. And by continuing to carry on as you are, you might infect people around you that you really care for. And I mean, nobody wants to do that. You can't take that back, unfortunately.
Right.
So go get tested and isolate if you are, in fact, infected.
Great. Well, Lainey, we're out of time. We've used up another half hour of everybody's life, but I think it was very good information. And once again, this is Lainey Hendricks. I'm talking to you from the County of Marin, Public Information Officer, expert on all things COVID and Marin County. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening.